everybody, and welcome back to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are happy to be queer to answer your questions. I'm Gina.
And I'm Cheyenne.
And class is now in session. We have some unanswered questions we're going to go through today. These didn't quite fit in an episode, or maybe were sent in after the episode aired, and we want to make sure we get everything answered. So we're going to bop around a little bit topic wise, but we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance for their question to be answered on the podcast. So welcome to unanswered questions today.
I really want to start with this one because I think this is kind of a fun question for us to talk about. But someone said, why do people ghost so often on dating apps?
Why do people ghost so often on dating apps? I worked in sales one summer, and I feel like while it was horrible, we learned about like the funnel number theory, where like you put out, 100 feelers in whatever instance that is, business, dating apps, whatever. And you know that if you send out 100 messages, you're not getting 100 answers. You're probably going to get like 30 answers. And then from those 30 answers, a percentage is going to keep talking to you after a certain amount of time. An even smaller percentage is going to meet you in person. Even smaller would go on a second date. And so I feel like people, when they're in that first stage of just messaging on a dating app, there's no repercussions, I guess, in just not answering ever again. Like you don't owe someone an explanation at that point. It's not like you went on a date and had to explicitly say like, I don't think we're going to keep going on dates. So I feel like on dating apps, it's the easiest place to ghost, because it's just in that loosey-goosey casual area where you haven't even met this person. They're just in the inner spaces of the interwebs online, and it's easy to just be like, oh, well, I either forgot and now too much time has gone by and I don't feel like it, or I met someone else and now I don't feel like going and denying everyone else who I didn't keep moving with. Like there's so many reasons, but I played up to like a numbers game that you just have to know. If you message even 10 people on a dating app, only like half of them maybe are going to answer you. I think that's just like the luck of the draw, the numbers game.
So what you're saying is everyone who judged me for being on like Tinder, Bumble, I don't even know what other, Hinge.
Oh, like multiple platforms.
They're wrong. They were wrong.
Oh, I think if you were trying to find somebody, that's the way to do it. You got to spread out and see what's out there. Yeah. No, they were wrong.
I agree with that.
I tell you not to do that.
It's a lot easier to just like not respond. And I think some people are on there when they're bored. Some people are on there for validation. Some people do just like meet someone else and don't come back to like let you know that, because they don't need to and you don't need that either. And like sometimes even if I was on all of those dating apps, like maybe I'd say hi to people and we'd have like a few messages back and forth, but it was just boring and not worth my time or energy to go back and try and continue the conversation. So it really just depends on, like, it sucks when you're like really vibing with someone and then they ghost, but then a lot of the time you can just chalk that up to like emotional unavailability or maybe something else going on in their life. Like it just wasn't meant to be. And I think it's really easy to just like fall off in those circumstances, because it's not like you're friends on social media and you're going to keep like seeing each other, or like you work together and you're going to keep running into each other at work. It's like, if it's just a dating app, it's easy to keep it at just a dating app. And when it's over, it can just be over and there's just like no commitment there. But I definitely agree with like putting your eggs into multiple baskets when dating, because like if I hadn't, I wouldn't have met my partner that I've been with for 2.5 years. Like she was on a dating app that I rarely matched with anyone on, because no one in my city was really on it, and I like never matched with anyone, and I like would always tell myself like I should just delete it, like I'm barely using it, they give you like 4 swipes a day, like what, like I'm not matching with anyone, I'm not talking to anyone, why is it taking up space on my phone? But I was like, you know, I'll just keep it, like just in case, what if? And then that what if turned into like meeting the love of my life. So like I don't know, I think it's good to have those options out there, especially because people do ghost so often. But I feel like also having multiple options in dating apps like that and like talking to as many people that interest you as possible makes it so like the ghosting is less painful, because if you match with one person and they ghost you, that's gonna like suck more than if you match with like 10 people and seven of them ghost you but three of them keep talking to you. Like
I feel like part of it too is what conversations are you having, because if it's just like hey how are you, good, how are you, great, how's your day, like if it's not really engaging conversation, I feel like it's, someone's just gonna be like, okay, we're not even like talking, I'm just gonna stop answering. Yeah. But if you're asking intriguing questions and going back and forth, I feel like that keeps somebody engaged. And so don't be like generic and small talky for too long, basically, is my advice to like try and keep the conversation going. And then if they go through at that point, you can chalk it up to like their issue, not you.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I feel like you can't get mad if you're giving the bare minimum and someone stops talking to you. Like there's a reason. And it's Google fun questions to ask someone and just start asking them like interesting ones and see where the conversation goes. If you really can't think of anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I have a interesting question here. Have you heard of the quote unquote useless lesbian, and can you provide advice for us? I have no idea what this means. Do you?
I do know what this means. So they're referring to like, it's almost like a useless lesbian, like it's like an in-joke / meme / stereotype that they just like don't know how to talk to girls, don't know how to flirt, don't know how to make the first move, don't know how to ask like any of that stuff. So it's like, I'm a useless lesbian, like I just don't know how to, I can't do
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, at what point does like that become like weaponized incompetence? Like you're like not letting yourself do anything and you don't want to do anything because it's scary. And like it's all about like putting yourself out there and, you know, risking embarrassment and not like internalizing the embarrassment or whatever is your fear outcome that could happen if you do put yourself out there for someone else. I think like it's kind of about exposure therapy, and we have like a lot of episodes on like dating apps, flirting, like kissing. Like if you go back and listen to any of those, I'm sure they would help you break at least one of those quote-unquote useless lesbian patterns or stereotypes or whatever. But do you have any other advice for them right now, Gina?
I mean, I think it's okay to not be the aggressor or the person hitting on people if you would rather get hit on. Like, I feel like there is a space that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you have to like, I guess, accept that, like, if I'm going to wait for people to come to me again, like in this numbers game we're talking about, then that's a pretty, you're relying on other people for those chances. And so I don't know, if you're okay with it, then you just got to like see what comes your way. But if not, then I think that then that's when you got to like get a little flirt game on, or maybe find more of a balance of letting people come to you versus if you see someone you like, try and talk to them kind of thing.
I feel like even though, I feel like even the people who are like letting someone come to them in some way, they are putting like signals and signs out there. Like
sure,
there is some like body language or like
smiling from across yourself on social media.
Like there's something that you have to do. Like you just can't like, I mean, you can, I'm sure some people have like found love or found a sexual partner that way. But I feel like it's very rare, because especially in a world where like consent is important, like you need to let the other person know that you're interested and you're down. And if you're not doing that, then how is anyone supposed to know? So I think like, even if you're not the one making the like advances or like flirting with someone, I think there are ways that you can kind of let them do that, but still not be quote unquote useless.
Right. Yeah. I see that. Like you have to put out the energy of being inviting and approachable and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's gotta be something there.
Or so don't like hide in the back of the booth with your friends. Like be the one to go get the drinks that you're by yourself at the bar and your friends are just over there. Yeah. You know, they even like abandon them, but like somebody could then come talk to you when they're buying a drink too. I don't know. This is all bar culture. Obviously this isn't the only place to meet people, but anyway, speaking of events, if an event is marked as a lesbian night, is it okay for bisexual women to show up?
I think, okay, so I don't have a definitive answer for this one because I think it's really like circumstantial. Like if it's like a lesbian night at like a lesbian bar that is inviting to other like sapphic identities, like I think that's fine. But like I think if it's like some kind of like community organizing or like space for like lesbians to meet other lesbians, I feel like that, I feel it just like depends. And I think there can be a lot of like exclusion in lesbian groups. And then also like, I feel like as a bisexual, like, would you be cool with like a lesbian showing up to a bisexual event? Like, it just depends on the people involved in the space and the group in general, I think. And I also think like, it's not black and white. Like, it's not always okay. It's not always not okay. And who it's okay for and who it's not okay for is going to vary. Like, if I'm going to a lesbian night, I don't care if bisexual women show up. Like, please come. I want the more the merrier. But then some people are going to care. And whether or not that means you shouldn't go is, like, I guess up to your discretion. Because I don't want to be, like, exclusionary, but I also don't want to deny people spaces to like meet others in their specific community. But that's why I like the term sapphic and I like the term queer, because I don't want to exclude different people. And like, you can meet other lesbians at a sapphic night, but like, you might not meet like the bisexual love of your life or like your bisexual BFF because you wanted only lesbians at an event. And I think it can just like easily like spiral into a shitty situation.
I think it should be definitive on the event information. Like, I feel like it's kind of up to the event to specify. And I'll say this, like when we were looking at Pride events and stuff, there was nothing that was that definitive. It all was like queer this, sapphic that. It wasn't like so restrictive. And so I don't know where there are strict events that are only for certain kinds of people. I feel like if it's a lesbian night, I feel like that just kind of says to, in my eyes, it's like there's so many queer spaces that are geared towards gay men. And this is saying like, hey, this is for everyone else in a sense that's queer and just not a man. And I think that there could be a better way of advertising that and and saying like, you know, here's who's welcome, and and we encourage, if you're, you know, the these other people want to come with you, cool. Like, I think there's a way to kind of say like, this is who's welcome, but I don't know, I guess like if it's not explicit on the event, I'd like ask or ask around. It's hard because I don't know that I've seen in my with my own two eyes a lot of queer spaces that were exclusionary in this way.
I feel like it's more of like an online thing, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I think so too. I don't see this like in practice.
And I feel like usually they're meeting lesbian in like the greater context, like you said, but like
the greater
there
good.
Are so many like gay women who could technically be considered lesbian, but they don't use the term lesbian, they use the term gay.
What are you gonna make them prove it at the door?
Like
people, your sexual history from the past 3 months
different ways, but like their their experiences or identity are technically the same. So I think it's too hard to be like, it's an event only for these people. I think it's better to just like have it be like queer women centric or like queer persons. Like, it just is so much easier to have it be a blanket to make the space more accepting. And I think I have read before that like lesbian spaces, despite, or like lesbian bars, despite being called lesbian bars, do tend to be like way more accepting and like inviting of different types of people versus other spaces, or even like other like gay bars. Like I know I've definitely had people like assume I was like a straight woman and be like, why is she here? Like she's just here to, you know. So I don't know. I think there's more benefit to marketing it as a, like a sapphic night or something, and or as a bisexual, as the bisexual woman, to just go if it is lesbian only and that's like really an issue. I guess I'll let you know, but I don't think it would be an issue for most people. Okay, so continuing talking about events, do you have any advice for going to your first Pride event / going alone?
I think it's totally fine to go to Pride things alone. Even if it's not like a Pride specific event. I went to, like, when I first moved to New York, I went to this sapphic book meetup by myself, and there were several other people who had gone by that their selves, and we all kind of like congregated at one point as like the individual attenders, you know, at like our own little high top table. And so I feel like it's not abnormal, and it's easy to just kind of like chat around and make friends. And I guess my advice is like, talk to lots of different people. Don't like just find somebody and then cling to them for the rest of the night, you know, like kind of mingle around, find a spot where you could just like sit and watch a drag show. And then it's like super normal to, you know, be sitting by yourself or whatever show is going on, you know? But I feel like it's pretty normal. So you just have to like get over it internally. Cause once you're there, I bet that you'd find others who went alone as well. And then you're like, oh, see, this wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the podcast before, but like the one of the times I've gone to like a gay bar by myself was the time I was approached the most by people wanting to talk to me, and like someone told me to like come sit with them and their friends, and that was like the only time someone ever like came up and like got my number. And I think sometimes it can be less intimidating to see someone and talk to them if they're not with a big group, because if someone's like with their friends or whatever, they might assume you don't want to make any new ones. But if you're by yourself, I feel like if you see someone by themselves somewhere, you're not gonna assume like, oh, they don't want to socialize, because they wouldn't be there by themselves if they didn't want to socialize
at a social event.
So, and I feel like it's easier to like take people under your wing and stuff. And I think also in doing that and like experiencing that, it makes it more exciting and easier for you to do that for someone else if you see them alone and you're like with friends eventually at some kind of like Pride event or a gay bar or wherever you are. It's easier to like invite someone else into your circle if someone's done that for you. So I think it's okay to do that, and I think it's less scary than it seems.
Agreed. All right, how about this next question? Just getting out of my first WLW relationship, almost 6 years. What do I even start to do to heal and move past this overwhelming confusion and loneliness? First of all, I'm sorry. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. And I wish we had a little more context, because I feel like that confusion is probably playing a big role in this person's inability to like heal and move on, and not having like closure. But then at the same time, like someone can only give you so much closure, and at a certain point, like I think you kind of have to give that to yourself. I think after being in a relationship that long, it's good to try and be single for a while and not jump right into anything like super intense or exclusive, just to kind of let yourself get to know yourself again as a solitary person and not as part of a couple. And I think that would help a lot with the loneliness. And there were probably a lot of things about being in that relationship that made you forget like the good parts of being alone. Like it's not all horrible. Like there are some pros, there are some cons to both sides of the coins. But I think, I don't know, starting to heal is really, it depends on you. And I think it's really dependent on like who you are and the scenario and everything. I don't know. What do you think, Gina?
I think it's hard because you really have to give yourself a lot of patience and grace, which are things that are really difficult when you're living in almost like a state of panic post breakup. And it is grief. Like, you're grieving a relationship, especially one that's been almost 6 years. That's a really big chunk of your life. And you have to allow yourself time to grieve and go through the stages of grief. And I think that it's easier said than done. I think that time really helps. I think it is a good idea to take that time to really get to relearn yourself and feel more confident in whatever way that works for you. I also feel like getting back out there, maybe in just a casual way, can be really affirming for just what might lie ahead in the future. Because I think sometimes when we get out of a relationship, we're thinking a lot in past terms, like, I don't have this anymore, I won't have that, and this is over. And once you, even in a casual way, start dating, you're kind of like, oh, there's possibility ahead of me. And that changes your mindset a little. And that doesn't mean you jump into something, but it can get you out of the sadness of looking backward and start to readjust your mind to looking forward. But it is a balance of, like, you can't do that before you're too ready. You have to be able to be transparent with the people you're dating about where you're at and that kind of thing. So you have to do it all carefully and you have to take your time with it. And like I said, it's all easier said than done, but time makes things hurt less. And that doesn't mean that you're not always going to be like, oh, that relationship, it hurts to think of what was lost. But it's also a testament to, like, how great the relationship really was. Like, you wouldn't have spent that much time with somebody if it didn't mean something. And I think it's better to come out of a relationship thinking, you know what, I'm sad it's over, but I'm glad I had that time, than thinking like, wow, what a fucking waste of time. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like having that reflection of like, this was good and I'm going to miss it, is an okay place to sit in for a bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like listening to you talk, it helps me like process more answers for the questions. But I also think part of dealing with the loneliness might be like reprioritizing like familial or platonic relationships and, you know, cultivating friendships and stuff like that. Like, I have a friend who's going through a breakup right now and they're reading this book that's about like reprioritizing friendships after a long-term relationship ends. And so there are like resources out there and there are ways to avoid because I don't think you can fully avoid those feelings, but ways to combat the loneliness. And then I think also like sitting in it and feeling it and like just like letting yourself grieve, like you said. Those are things that'll help you start to process and start to move past the stage that it seems like you're in right now. Okay. Anyways, going kind of in the opposite direction, we got another question that says, how do you tell if someone likes you and how do you ask someone on a date?
Okay. So these are two different questions, in my opinion. I feel like if you're questioning whether or not someone likes you, I would be like, is it because you've gotten like some hints and you're just not sure how to interpret them? Or is it because you like them and you want them to like you back? Like, what kind of signals have they been sending? If you're really not sure, maybe like put a couple feelers out there in a small way, just like little flirty things. Like, it doesn't have to be big things. You don't have to make some grand gesture, but just like flirt with them a little, see if it's reciprocated, make a joke and see if they laugh or if they become uncomfortable. Like, you know, nothing crazy, but like, if you make a small joke and they're into it and joke back, you can be like, okay, so there's something here.
As far as asking someone, how do I not hurt this person's feelings? You're like, oh, maybe I misread the situation.
Yeah. If you don't get the vibe that you were thinking you were going to get, you can then reevaluate. Maybe then don't ask them on the date. But asking somebody on a date, I feel like that's just being straightforward of like, I don't know if you're messaging already, like, hey, we should really do this in person, or like, I don't know, ask, tell them you already I have tickets to this thing and I need somebody to go with. Would you want to get coffee sometime? Like, I feel like if you know someone likes you, it's pretty easy to ask them on a date. You just have to like plan something for y'all to do. I think it's harder to determine if they like you or not to even ask, like to take the risk. You know what I'm saying? Cause I get that. I'd want to put some feelers out before I just like throw in the, hey, you want to go get coffee bomb, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, okay, this is where I differ a little bit, because I think as like one, a delusional bitch, and two, a neurodivergent bitch, I'm like, I don't always pick up on the vibes, and I don't always know if I'm accurately reading the vibe. So it is kind of easier for me to just be like upfront, and I'm not gonna be like, do you like me? Check yes or no. Like, I'm not gonna do that. So I was always the person that if I was getting any sort of vibe and it was someone I was interested in, I was gonna be like, hey, like, can I take you on a date? Or like,
yeah.
And I think it's even better to have something specifically planned, because I think like saying like, can I take you on a date sometime? It just puts you in that like zone of like, sometime. You should hang out sometime. Yeah. It's just like, okay, then it's never gonna happen. But if you have something specific and you're like, what day can we go do this? Or I have, like Gina said, I have tickets to this thing on this specific date.
Are you free this weekend? Yeah. What are you doing on Friday? Yeah.
Like I like specific. To use the word date. I didn't like to use like hang out or anything like that. I wanted that person to know my intentions and like that it was a date and not be like, oh, is this a friend? Hey, like, I didn't want any confusion.
Right.
I don't like confusion. I don't like not knowing if like someone is interested in that way or like what the hangout is. I just like to be straightforward. And if I got a rejection, I got a rejection. It was just meant to be that way. It sucked in the moment, but usually people are flattered and it's fine.
Like usually I think that's a lot of what it is, those getting over the fear of rejection. Cause I don't really have much of that. Like if I get rejected, I get rejected. I don't know. I go back to the, it's all a numbers game, whatever. And so I feel like once you get in the mindset of like, if this person rejects me, it's all going to be okay. Then you're more comfortable putting the feelers out there, asking on some dates, seeing where things go. Cause there's like less of that daunting risk of rejection.
And I think just asking someone on a date is kind of how you start to gauge if they actually do like you, because you don't have to ask like, hey, how do you feel about me before the date even happens? Like if they like you enough to say yes to the date, you're like, okay, they at least like me a little bit. And then if they like you enough to say yes to a second date, you're like, all right, they like me. Like it just will progress more naturally from there. Or they'll be like, nah, I'm not really feeling you, or I'm feeling someone else more. Like it just, I think asking someone on a date is like a good way to go if you're like getting some vibes, or if even if you just like them and like there you have some sort of like in like interaction conversation going on. Like I don't think you can only ask someone on a date if you think they like you. Like I think we care too much about how the other person feels about us and not enough about how much we feel about a person, and I think that can be a downfall sometimes in dating.
I had these two friends that I was friends with in college, and they were just friends and like hung around each other all the time. And then somewhere after college, one of them was specifically like, I think we should try going out on a date. And what's funny is they probably hung out alone like tons of times before this. But one of them set an intention and said, no, I want to try a date. And they both got like really excited. They went on a date, and fast forward 4 years, they're now engaged. So like, I think that that kind of a move, just being like, this is my intention, what do you think? I think it can go a long way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you set that intention, the date goes great, you're finally in a relationship. We got another question. How do you strongly start off a WLW relationship? This is my first time. So do you have any thoughts on starting it off strong?
I think that in the beginning of a relationship, you have the chance to really set a good foundation in the sense of like, be fully transparent, allow that person to meet you where you're at. Don't try and like sugarcoat things or put on like a big front, or like, let them know it's your first time. Don't hide that so they find out later. Don't like act like too cool to admit certain things. Like, I think the more you can be upfront about where you're at, what you think, how you feel in any regard, even good things like this is how much I like you, and this is how I see things going. I think that being that level of transparent and honest builds trust that lasts a really long time. I also think like pace yourself, because I think, you know, sapphic people get to be a little crazy in the beginning of relationships, and there's the U-Haul effect and all these things. So like pace yourself, be open, build a good start. And most importantly, have fun together, because that's like the whole point. Like, you should just be giggling, laughing, and having a great time when you're together. And those are all, I think, the best way to start things off with somebody.
Yeah, that's so true, because I definitely have known some couples who, and probably have been in those relationships myself, where it starts off dramatic and toxic, and it's like, how do you expect to have a healthy, like, happy long-term relationship when, like, less than a month in, like, you're having these kind of arguments? And you know, there's going to be conflict in any relationship, but I think sometimes it's not worth it, and something needs to be either changed, or the relationship needs to be reevaluated. If the foundation isn't starting off, like Gina said, happy, healthy, fun, honest, if all of those things aren't in place, then I don't want to say people can't change, but I don't foresee it getting much better down the line if from the beginning it's not, that precedent isn't set.
Yeah, that's why I use the word foundation, because that you're building off of the beginning. And if you lose trust in the beginning, how do you ever gain it back? Like, because you're always going to think, but they lied that one time, or they weren't honest that one time. Like, build it from the ground up, in the sense that you start on good footing and honesty, and that trust goes so far, like just so far.
Yeah. You got to start strong, so you have something to like go back to when shit hits the fan.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. All right. And with that, we are done with our unanswered questions episode. If you have any other questions for us, you can give us a call at 724-209-7372 and leave us a voicemail. You can find us on any social media platform. Send us a message there. We are at Sapphic Survival Guide on all platforms except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And you can also email us your questions at sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mess Bean on pretty much any social media platform.
And you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, include my website, LibraGina.com. And you can listen to Hello wherever you listen to podcasts for your Jersey Shore recaps and your Angelina beef and all kinds of things. So go find us wherever podcasts are available. And with that, class is now dismissed.